returning to Baltimore here from the Baltimore Banner. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Kyle Goon. Kyle, what is up?
Not much. Calling you from California. We're just took in the Orioles series. Kind of a relief to see them win a series, huh? Only the third series win of the year.
Yeah, and winning one, first one on the road, winning on a Sunday for the first time, beating a lefty. That was great. And we'll start with the Orioles. Two out of three. Eplin's back. And, you know, Kyle, they're nine games under 500. I think, you know, we need to slow the roll till they get to 500 and then maybe exceed it, because they weren't expected to be a 500 team. They're expected to be well beyond that here in 2025. But Eplin back with Kramer, the way he's dealing, and Sagano, who was brilliant on Friday night. Yeah, you got Povich, hits a lot of bats, Gibson and Morton, et cetera, et cetera. But with the three we mentioned, are they at least more competitive now in the rotation than they were, say, a month ago?
Yeah. And, I mean, Eflin, in his time with the Orioles, I mean, it's hard to remember a time where he's kind of been cracked, right? I mean, and you saw maybe a little rust or whatever you want to call it in the first inning yesterday. And he's just the guy who recovers. I mean, you know, wound up pitching a scoreless rest of his five innings. He had only gotten stretched out to 50-some pitches in his rehab start, and he throws 83. So, you know, really going, you know, as deep as he can safely for the Orioles. He's just a guy who has a lot of poise. You never see him really shaken up there. And I think his return, I mean, he's probably the best starter in the rotation now. So his return means a lot for this team. And it's a character that the clubhouse could really use as they go through these adverse times.
They had to manufacture runs yesterday, and the Angels did them a solid with the misplay out there in left field. But it is what it is. The Orioles have had all sorts of breaks go against them here in 25. Are we seeing signs that the offense, maybe not last year's level where they finished, what, second, third in the major leagues and runs and homers and all that good stuff, but are we seeing signs of life from an offense that doesn't go quietly into the night that we've seen happen so many times this season?
Yeah, I mean, I'll believe it when we see it more. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, it's frustrating in a way, even though they won yesterday, to kind of see evidence of, hey, this offense exists. They can kind of, you know, obviously hit some home runs, and Gunnar smacked a pair of home runs in this series, but they can grind it out too. And, you know, God bless Maverick Handley for, you know, bunting in a run, sack flying in a run, you know, and making some things happen. And that's, the Orioles just need more of that. They just need more of, hey, like, what's the situation? Can we get a guy across? You know, the vision was, oh, we're going to steal bases. We're going to do bunts. We're going to do all these things. And just kind of hasn't happened. And you know, that was my column today, that, you know, it's great to see the Orioles kind of make something happen in a game like they did on Sunday, but they just got to do more because we know the talent's there.
What former number one draft pick are you feeling better about? Because we just had this discussion a couple segments ago, Kyle. Adley or Holiday, as we sit here on May the 12th?
Well, right now, I mean, Jackson Holiday is clearly having the better season, and he's been consistent. And I think one thing that I really like about his season this year is he's being pretty discerning and getting some walks and defining the strike zone better than he did last year. And, you know, Adley, I think, is coming around, and it was great to see him get a couple of hits yesterday. You alluded to the weird left field lost in the sun fly ball, which always seems to go against the Orioles, not for the Orioles lately. You know, he's gotten some bad luck for sure, but he just needs to be better. He just needs to be more competitive, more regularly, and I think he'll come along. But Jackson Holiday is clearly having a better season right now.
Kyle, would you anticipate a reunion with Jadeveon Clowney and the Ravens? To me, if it happens, it happens in training camp. Nothing now, though, because they'll want to look at their guys.
Yeah, I think you're right on the timing thing. I would like to see. I wanted to see it last year. I was sort of like, why are you going to let him?
Yeah, me too.
Rot in Carolina. I mean, and, you know, I know he didn't have a great year last year, but he's still in his early 30s. He had a great relationship with Chuck Smith. You know, as far as I know, he was liked in the locker room. You know, it makes sense. They need some edge help. They always need edge help. Every NFL team needs edge help. And he's been in Baltimore before. So why don't you kind of look at a guy like that and say, yeah, this is what would be a good depth piece to add. I don't know if he's going to have, you know, 9.5 sacks like he had a couple years ago. But, I mean, just even his pass rushing presence, the threat of him, I think could add something to the Ravens defense, and it might be a little bit before we see it.
Hey, Kyle, with the schedule coming out Wednesday, we're kind of figuring maybe a Sunday night, Monday night game. And I don't know, because of the two games they've announced so far, they're both division games. Because we were talking earlier, you know, probably a Sunday night, Monday night at Buffalo would probably be of interest.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. And you know what? As far as I think about it, I would love to get the Buffalo trip done in September as opposed to last year. We're all freezing our butts off, feeling the Lake Orchard lake effect drift into the stadium and freeze us all to our seats. So, but obviously, I mean, come on. Everybody remembers the MVP race last year. I think Lamar was robbed. Yes. Buffalo fans will celebrate that as a national holiday forever without their championship. So, yeah, Josh Allen MVP Day, that's the national holiday of Buffalo now. But, yeah, it's a great matchup. It's great for the league. I would love to see it, and I would love to visit Buffalo when I'm not freezing my butt off.
Now, Kyle, which extension gets done first this offseason? You know, is it Lamar? Is it Henry? Is it, you know, is it Kyle Hamilton? Is it Linderbaum? Which one do you think gets done?
I mean, that's a complicated question. I would tell you, if it were up to me, I would try to get Kyle Hamilton done as soon as possible. And with all due respect to Tyler Linderbaum, another valuable piece of the team, but Kyle just does so much. I mean, you make a convincing argument that he's the leader of this defense now. And, you know, I think they made the Malachi Starks decision with an idea that this frees him up to be sort of the dynamic player that he was in 2023, rather than having to force him in the deep backfield all the time. So to me, Kyle Hamilton has to be the number one priority to secure the future of this team, because he's just a piece that just affects defense in a way that few other guys do.
Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner, joining us, Biddy at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Kyle, what's happening on the website here on this Monday?
Yeah, I got a column on the Orioles, as I mentioned. And also coming out later today, hopefully, a story on Pat Spencer, who's going to be playing in the playoffs for Golden State Warriors. He got a couple minutes. He's been the subject of online memes, but you know, he's a Maryland guy. He's the one player in college lacrosse, and now he's playing in the NBA playoffs, and hopefully having a story up later today.
Kyle, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks for having me.
There's Kyle Goon, everybody. We'll come back, take a trip through the whip around. It's a whip around. It's a fun thing to get into. Talk about those sports. A couple of local guys left. Pat Spencer's one of them in the NBA. And we'll talk about the other guy coming up here in a couple of minutes. Zach Kreiser is going to be joining us from Bandwagon Newsletter. Talks of baseball. Two managers already gone. So Bud Black, he got the heave-ho a couple of days ago from Colorado. They're historically bad right now, are the Rockies. Could there be another manager on the hot seat here before the All-Star break?
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NBA Draft Lottery is tonight. Check it out on ESPN. Utah, 14% chance to get the number one pick. Wizards, same thing, 14%. Charlotte, 14%. And then the Pelicans come in at 12.5%. Cooper Flagg expected to be the number one pick. And it looks like the consensus, the top four picks are going to be Flagg, Harper, Bailey from Rutgers, and Edgecombe. Kid from Baylor.
Yeah. It's still shocking, Bob. I mean, you got two lottery picks and you sucked. You know, Rutgers.
Oh, sucked bad.
Yeah.
And I know they both had injury problems, but they weren't really competitive.
No.
A lot on nights. But either way, that looks how the draft could play out. You know, if you're the NBA, because the lottery's not fixed, where would you prefer, like, say, Philly? They have the fifth best odds at 10.5.
Mm.
Slide him in the old city of brotherly love there with aging Paul George and Joel Embiid, but a rising star in Tyrese Maxey. Again, the lottery's not fixed. Brooklyn, nah.
I think Washington would be good.
You know, and hey, Wiz got a nice little nucleus there.
Yeah. So, where does Queen go, Bob? What are they saying?
He anywhere between 9 and 16, somewhere along those lines. I mean, only thing he did during the NCAA tournament was enhance,
no doubt,
his draft status. But the NBA draft lottery is tonight. So if Utah, et cetera, gets it, we know where Cooper Flagg's going to be playing his college basketball. New Orleans did draft Zion Williamson a few years back, and that did not turn out well for them, as injuries have pretty much prevented that guy from doing whatever it is he's capable of doing, which is some pretty exciting things. But NBA last night, yesterday afternoon, it was OKC against Denver, number one seed in the West, Thunder, down 2-1 to the Nuggets on the road in a grinded-out affair. Former Terp had a lot to do with that outcome.
Got it off just in time before the expiration of the shot clock. Williams, Wallace, one more, Wiggins, wide open, Cash.
ESPN on the call, Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, 11.6 boards as OKC wins 92-87. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 25.6 boards, 6 assists. The Joker, his main comp for MVP at 27. But he's kind of struggling a little bit, as are the rest of the Nuggets. Series now tied at 2 games apiece. Low scoring affair for this playoffs anyway. Tomorrow night, back in Oklahoma City for Game 5. The all-important Game 5 tomorrow. Tip-off. And then last night, I mean, come on. Pacers blow out the Cavaliers 129-109. Indiana outscored Cleveland 42-16 in the second quarter. 42-16.
Wow.
Cavaliers had no answer whatsoever. Pascal Siakam at 21. Toppin and Turner at 20 each. Donovan Mitchell didn't even play in the second half with an ankle injury. So right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers, after a brilliant regular season, one of the best in the history of that franchise, they're down 3-1 going home. And who knows what Donovan Mitchell's status is going to be. Garland's been hurt. Mobley's missed time. They just can't seem to find their rhythm. And quite frankly, they've been ambushed by the Pacers in this series. So Indiana with some playoff experience. Remember last year they sent the Stephen A. Smith Knicks home in Game 7 in kind of a blowout game, got all over them. If Mitchell can't go, you would think Cleveland might be done in 5. And Donovan Mitchell, as great as he is, and he's great, can't get out of the semifinals of his conference, whether it's with Utah or here with the Cavaliers. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Tonight, Celtics at the Knicks. Boston got medieval on New York on Saturday. And the T-Wolves taking on Pat Spencer's Warriors up 2-1. No Steph Curry in this one. Minnesota wins tonight. He goes back to Minneapolis. See you later.
And I don't see Steph being healthy the whole playoffs, Bob.
All right, Stanley Cup playoffs. Capitals on Saturday. They play tonight. Carolina, 7 o'clock puck drop, TNT, Caps down 2-1, 4-0 Saturday. What the hell happened?
Bob, I mean, Tom Wilson had a breakaway right out the get-go. You know, I mean, the Caps came out flying. I mean, they came out, you know, it looked like role reversal of Game 1. The Caps were flying, and Carolina was kind of on their heels. And Wilson had a breakaway, Anderson saved it. Reddish has a breakaway in the first 3 minutes, Anderson saves it. Anderson, you know, he was stud in goal. And then second, third period was back to Carolina dominating. And they did. And they did. And tonight, back in Carolina, they got to get going. And Bob, the ones that got to get – the stars got to – in these types of games, your stars got to show up. Ovi's got to show up. He's got one assist. You know, Strom, Protas, they got to play. They got to play Carlson. You know, he didn't have a good game the other night. But – your stars got to show up tonight. Otherwise, they're going to go back to Washington with elimination game on hand on Wednesday.
Last night, Stanley Cup playoffs, Dallas beats the Jets 5-2. Some controversy, I guess, in one of those goal situations. Dallas put three up in the third.
Yeah, there was the Dallas guy, Bob, kicked the puck. And you're not allowed to kick it and score a goal. But it went off. He kicked it, and it went off the goalie's stick and then in. So they counted it a good goal. And then like 30-some seconds later, Dallas scored again. And then it was just – then they were done. They were done. Now, Bob, Saturday night, the Vegas one, the it was tied 3-3. And there was less than 10 seconds. So they're shooting around, and Vegas scores with 0.4 seconds to go in the game to win it 4-3 to save their season to go back 2-1.
Yeah, at Edmonton tonight, by the way, Vegas still down 2-1, as you said. Also last night, Florida 2-0 over the Maple Leafs. That series all of a sudden tied at 2 games apiece.
Yep, and both teams have won on their home ice. And kind of like the same thing with Toronto. Bob is Matthews has done nothing. And they say he's banged up, you know, but he's got to get going. And they were saying all the right things. Toronto, we're going home. You know, we get game three here. They would always have game seven back there if need be.
It's 58-81-057, the Pat Nolan's other side of the glass. It is the whip around here on this Monday. Men's lacrosse, Maryland beat Air Force. They advance. They'll take on Georgetown. Towson lost. Maryland women lose in double overtime. All the local women's teams were eliminated from the big dance there in the lacrosse world. This day in Orioles history, 1997, it is May the 12th. Oakland, Tony Tarasco, 3-run jack. Cal Ripken, B.J. Surhoff, Ed Ribbies. Jimmy Key goes 7th strong for his 7th win. Armando Benitez gets his 3rd save. Orioles beat the A's. Wire-to-wire Orioles, 5-1. 2012, Oriole Park Camden Yards. Bill Hall, Nolan. Bill Hall hit a home run for the Orioles. Adam Jones had 2 ribbies. Brian Mattis got the win. Jim Johnson picked up his 11th save of the season. 5-3 Orioles over the Rays. And then 2 years ago today against the Pirates, Oriole Park Camden Yards. Cedric Mullins hit for the cycle as the Orioles beat the Pirates 6-3. Brian Baker gets the win in relief of Kyle Bradish, who went 6 strong. And the Mountain, Felix Bautista, picked up his 9th save 2 years ago today. 6-3 Orioles over the Pirates. We'll come back, talk current day baseball. Pirates have already fired their manager with Zach Kreiser from the Bandwagon Newsletter. Orioles, they take a series, only 3rd series win of the year. So there's still a lot of ground to be made up. But what does he think of the American League in general? And do the Braves have a shelf life? And who's the next manager to get whacked? Off day for the Orioles. They're buried at the bottom of the American League East, but a lot of other things going on in MLB. Let's welcome back to the show. He's with the Bandwagon Newsletter. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline, Zach Kreiser. Zach, what's happening, buddy? How are you feeling today?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right. Looking at the Orioles, where they are right now in the standings, 15-24, 7.5 back. Just won a series on the road for the first time this season. Just won a Sunday game for the first time this season. Based on your expectations coming into the year, Zach, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 means unacceptable, where would the Orioles rate on your disappointment scale right now?
10 means unacceptable? Yeah, I'd say it's a 9. It's not good. That, you know, beating the Angels yesterday, that is what got them to at least a tie for last place in the American League in run differential. So they're not alone as the worst. They're just tied for the worst. They obviously, you know, this is not the world's most dominant league, the AL, that is. So it's not like they're out of it. It's not like they're toast. But there is... it's been a really damaging couple, first month and a half. They're down to 8% playoff odds at Fangraphs. And I think that's probably a little low. You know, I could see this team getting hot and putting something together, but there's not a lot of pitching to inspire the confidence that that's going to happen. So you kind of have to believe that they're going to, either find someone new or go out and make some deals. And I think you really have to see the offense continue to play well, which the offense has been better recently. So if they can stay in contention until mid-June, or at least close to contention until mid-June, maybe you see moves. But it's going to be hard to justify it if they stay where they are right now.
Now, we've seen Derek Shelton gone in Pittsburgh, Bud Black over the weekend, Colorado. There are some people here in our fan base that would like Brandon Hyde to be the ex-manager of the Orioles. A couple years ago, Phillies fired Joe Girardi. Rob Thompson came in. They went to the World Series. But, you know, what does getting rid of a manager in May do for a team? You know, Pirates, Rockies, they're not contending, but the Orioles still fancy themselves as that. What does that normally do to turn your season around? Because I don't see Jorge Mateo turning into Rod Carew, if you're digging what I'm saying, if they fire Brandon Hyde. You know what I mean?
I think it's tough. There are some teams that have had rebuilds and they fire the manager to kind of signal a shift from one mindset to the other. But the Orioles are past that phase. They have been very successful with Brandon Hyde. I don't think there's not much evidence that suggests Brandon Hyde is the difference between when they were winning and now. I think, you know, you might still wind up with Brandon Hyde getting the boot as a scapegoat, as a way to jolt the team. But the Orioles, more than, you know, you bring up those Phillies, that was a team that felt like it had the pieces and was underperforming. This is an Orioles team that I think pretty clearly does not have the pieces on the pitching side, and it's really hard to blame Brandon Hyde for that. That doesn't mean that they won't blame Brandon Hyde for that and make a move just to see what happens. But I don't know that there's a lot of logical backing for putting this at Brandon Hyde's feet.
Now, you talk about the American League and, you know, outside of the Tigers, who, you know, lost a couple in a row over the weekend, there really isn't a team that looks like they've separated from anyone in their own division, much less the rest of the league. But what about the AL West? Seattle just got swept by Toronto, a team that had kind of been disappointing. The A's are still clanking around, dropping 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Texas fired their offensive coordinator, brought in Brett Boone. And after some early struggles there, looks like they got, well, home runs always make hitting coaches look great. But what about the AL West? I mean, are we throwing a dart here, or is there a team that, if you look at them on paper, should eventually rise above others?
I mean, I think that division is kind of going to be a mess the whole year, but I would still put my money on the Astros if I had to. I think they're dealing, you know, Jose Altuve had a bit of a slow start, changed defensive positions. Yordan Alvarez has been out for a little bit with a hand injury and had been very unlucky before that. I just think that is the most complete team still. They're kind of shuffling around, figuring out some positional situations there. But in the long run, I like the talent on hand in Houston because, I mean, they're getting a breakout, possible Cy Young contender performance from Hunter Brown. They've still got Framber Valdez. And if you flip around and look at, say, the Mariners, they don't have the hitting that I'm very confident in. Cal Raleigh is amazing. Julio Rodriguez should be even a little better than he has been. But that's not a deep lineup. So they're really reliant on that pitching that has had some injury issues. The A's are, you know, they're performing much better. I don't think they have the pitching to really contend over the full year. And the Rangers are, I don't know what to make of the Rangers. That lineup has been diabolical exactly once in 2023. And other than that, it's had a lot of really streaky, underperforming hitters. And I'm not that confident they're going to put it all together enough to go ahead and win the division. I think you could still see two of those teams make the playoffs somehow. But if you're asking me to pick one that I'm most confident in, it still has to be the Astros.
Hey, Zach, in the MLB, a team that maybe's 500 or less that you think and has the talent that they can make a run and get out of where they're at right now?
I'm gonna skip over the Braves because they seem like the most obvious answer, and I think they are rapidly proceeding to not being under 500. But give me the Cincinnati Reds because They're very weird. They keep winning games like 24-0, and then the next day they'll lose 3-0. I don't think that's going to persist, but I do think they have the offensive talent. It's a lot of younger players like Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McClain, kind of surrounded by some nice veteran pieces like Austin Hayes, Gavin Lux. I think they've been a little unhealthy to start the year. You got to hope Hunter Green is back soon. That would be my pick is contingent on that. But I think they've got enough pieces and enough talent that I could see Terry Francona whipping that team into enough shape to win a wild card. I don't really buy the St. Louis Cardinals, who are ahead of them in the division right now. And the Brewers have, I think the Brewers are always smart enough to contend. But in terms of talent on hand, I think the Reds will wind up over 500.
Zach Kreiser, bandwagon newsletter. Tell everybody about that, Zach, and how they can reach your baseball thoughts and opinions here.
Yes. So three times a week, Hannah Kaiser and I write a newsletter about baseball analysis, fandom, and the culture around the sport. It is bandwagon.substack.com. Today, you can find my very silly analysis of guys named Pete being the best players in baseball, which has never happened before and might happen this year. So go check it out on Substack.
Hey, we appreciate it, Zach. As always, enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
There he is, Zach Kreiser, everybody. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw. News from the Nats coming up here. Top of the hour, going to hear from Kyle Van Noy. He was on NFL Live last week. Get a little deeper into what he had to say. We'll look at the Ravens' opponents on paper. 2025, most likely scenario for them to open their season. We all believe they're starting their year on national TV some way, somehow, and in prime time. Talk more about that later in the show with Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Bill Bender will be joining us from the Sporting News. Talk a little football with him. Stick around for that. Derek Carr retired. Jadeveon Clowney got cut. So there are things we'll get into. News from the Nest. Top of the hour. Going to hear more from Kyle Van Noy, who was on NFL Live talking about the team, Lamar Jackson. And apparently Lamar made his acting debut. You were telling me off the air.
I saw it. Did you see it, Nolan? His acting debut?
Just the brief clip.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Where he shoots a dude in the head.
Right. Spoiler alert.
With a silencer. With a silencer.
So there you go. So Lamar.
Like 10 seconds.
Now he's trying to, like the rest of the team, get over this playoff hump. Kansas City, Buffalo, wherever in their way, they got to get over it. And we'll look at the schedule and the opponents anyway, try to project or predict who the Ravens would open the season with. Because it starts September 4th with Dallas going to Philly. Then the 5th is in Brazil with the Chargers, Chiefs. So that's the 5th, 6th, 7th. Full on Sunday, September 7th will be your football beginning there, kicking off your favorite team's season. Nolan, what's on your mind over there as the Orioles take 2 out of 3 from the Angels, win a series on the road, win on a Sunday, and beat a lefty. What the hell?
They did it all.
The triple.
Nothing to complain about after yesterday's game. But speaking of schedules, you look at the Orioles schedule for the rest of the month. I mean, this is where they really got to start making some moves here, obviously, because of how far of a hole they buried themselves in. That's the obvious part. But the level of competition here. I mean, one team with a winning record here, it looks like. I guess St. Louis is above 500, too. So Boston and St. Louis, right now, two teams above 500. But the rest, everyone else is below. Milwaukee's right there around 500. I know you got swept by Minnesota last week. But can you show a little bit more life here? You're going to avoid Pablo Lopez this time around. That should bode well. We'll see. I mean, start stringing these together, man. I mean, because if you go from the high that was yesterday, 7-3, all the great things you just listed, right back to, a 4-0, 5-0 loss tomorrow night, then it's just what we've been dealing with all season. One step forward, two or three steps back at some points.
They need to do what Minnesota and St. Louis are doing right now.
No doubt.
A little 8-game winning streak, get you back in a positive frame of mind, put you over. And I know Zach Kreiser just said he's not buying the Cardinals here, but 8 out of 10, 11 of 14, 17 of 20, that's what they need. They need to start, like the Phillies win series. They just keep stacking series wins, don't necessarily go in these crazy long winning streaks. Orioles haven't won 3 in a row yet, much less 8. So I don't know if they could sweep the Twins, but 4-2 on the homestand, I don't think it's an impossible task. They just have to be more reliable in run production, because Saturday night, after, you know, the Sagano performance, Gunner went deep Friday, they went quietly into the Anaheim night. Mm-hmm. There's too many of those sprinkled in here.
Right. Well, from a pitching perspective, I mean, looking at the starters for the series, Povich, all right, up and down, but then you get Kramer, Sagano. So you feel pretty good about the three guys you're throwing out there, at least for this twin series. And like I said, no Lopez for the other side. And who's the other guy they're going to miss? Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan, they'll miss him as well. So just on paper, looks like a great opportunity. Take two out of three.
Yeah, just enjoy the victory, but don't rest on laurels, because right now they don't have any laurels to rest on. They're still 9 games under .500, and they're still in last place. That's the reality of the situation. We got time for a funhouse?
Quick Draws Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
The chatter around firing Brandon Hyde, well, that hasn't gone anywhere, as you would probably guess.
Well, you're like the leader of the
I'm not
thing,
the leader,
dude.
Of it. You, not the leader.
You're second.
Why are you wearing a Buck Showalter jersey?
Yeah.
They didn't even I think they
made this. You and Jason and Ken are the leaders in the clubhouse.
I think if I'm on par with them, you're not listening. That's all I'm going to say. There's nothing personal about what I'm saying. It's all about ball. Let's see. This texter says, firing Brandon Hyde might be doing him a favor at this point. The guy's clearly fed up with his team. You can see it on his face every time the camera pans to the dugout. Hear it in the post-game press conferences after all those losses. I think that's why he's not sticking up for them on bad umpire calls.
Well, you can only go to the well so many times, literally every game. It's broken record stuff. John Harbaugh, he has to talk to that inane nonsense at halftime or coming out of halftime during a game. And then you have the post-game where you're like minutes removed from a tough L. Then he gets to chill for 24 hours, meets with the media in more of a podium setting, and then doesn't have to talk again till Wednesday. Brandon Hyde, every single night. Not just him, all baseball managers. Hey, when you're winning, it's great. It's awesome. We're riding a wave. Let's feel it. When you're losing, well, hey, we're 1-for-12 runners in scoring position. My starting pitcher couldn't get out of fifth. What the bleep do you want from me?
That would be the most annoying thing to me, Bob. Like, if you're a coach or manager or whatever you are, you got to talk at some time during the game.
Hate it.
Yes.
And with all due respect to Masson, get the reporters out of the dugout. Let them play ball. Yeah. Hey, what kind of pitch was that? Well, it's the one that was over the plate, and I smacked the crap out of it.
Well, how about when you're talking?
Now let me drink from the Homer hose,
Bob. Like, you're talking to the coach who's losing at halftime, walking out or whatever. Whoa, what do you think? You know, F you,
Yeah, you're right. And you really get nothing from you wait for them to melt down. That's the story of those interviews. Yeah.
Let's see. Time for one more here. Gene in Annapolis, as far as what I was mentioning here with the road ahead for the Orioles, scheduling-wise, there's no world beaters on the schedule, but he says the Orioles are an inferior team. You can't look at their opponents as being inferior. They are the bottom of the barrel. And he's got more gripes about Tyler O'Neill. Says, I can't watch this guy anymore. Stinks at the plate. Maybe even worse in the outfield. Makes every play look difficult. Tired of hearing about his arm. I don't like this guy. Didn't like him in Boston. Don't like him here.
Yeah, Sagano's got an arm that equals, not Sagano, Laureano's arm equal to Tyler O'Neill's. But yeah, right field? Because Brandon Hyde, I was at one of the early season press conferences. O'Neill won his gold gloves in left field in St. Louis. But he prefers right field. And he doesn't look like he's having fun out there either. Maybe he's a serious guy by nature, but he's always got kind of that business-only look on his grill, and that's great. When's the last time he's hit a home run?
Well, he hasn't even been here.
Yeah, he was on the IL.
It's nice that he's actually out there.
He was on the IL for quite some time again. But look, Anthony Santander is not exactly lighting the world on fire, but you knew once it got to May and the weather started to heat up, so would he. I don't know, man. And he was supposed to be an upgrade defensively over Taters, too, and I haven't necessarily seen that either.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the texter is right. I mean, like some of the doubles that were hit out there, I know they were rocketed off the bat, and it's a little bit of a cavernous right field there. And
he got in that hockey corner yesterday.
But the way his feet were moving, he didn't know where he was going. I mean, he like, where am I going over here? Yeah. I cut it short.
Little cartoon action. It's making noises. The feet are moving, but he's not. Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. But the Orioles did win the series. Let's stress that. Now let's see what happens this week against the Twins and the Nats. News from the Nets coming up next. Going to hear from Kyle Van Noy. Had 12 and a half sacks last year for the Ravens. It's Super Bowl or bust for them. Buy or sell. Where's the early week money? Hopefully counting that. Guess we are, right?
Yeah, we
are. All this tariff stuff is maybe going the way of the dinosaur. Bill Pender, Sporting News. We'll talk about the NFL draft. We'll talk about the NFL and all the fun stuff there. NFL launch, American League East Report at 1:15. And then Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Orioles are back home. The friendly confines of Oriole Park at Camden Yards.